Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Father, we come to you this morning and we are grateful. Grateful for salvation by grace. Grateful for the church. Dear God, not a minor doctrine taught throughout the New Testament. In fact, everywhere in the New Testament. God, would you help me this morning to preach good Bible doctrine so people can understand, so they can go home and they can study it further and they get into the Word of God even deeper than perhaps they've ever been before. And Lord Jesus, we pray that the preaching this morning would be concise, it'd be pointed, and we'd remember what we're supposed to remember. And God, if there's someone here not born again, we pray for their salvation this very day. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Last Sunday morning, I kind of went on a rant. I went on one of those rabbit trails. I never preached one single point of the message that I had prepared to preach. So this morning, during the week, God said, you got to go back to it. So I am going to attempt to preach this morning what I was going to preach last Sunday morning. And sometimes God does that. And it was a wonderful, wonderful service. Great response at the altar. The same thing on Sunday night. God has been blessing us in great ways. We're seeing a great harvest of people coming to Christ. We're seeing people come back to Christ that kind of turned and left and walked away. There were three families here last Sunday night, and all of them in the evening service, and I could name them this morning, but I don't want to embarrass them. Some of them are here, and they left us, but they came back. They said, Pastor, we tried it. That's not for us. We've come home. One even had some questions about tithing. They were real serious, you know, and I thought, well, I'm just so happy, and God encouraged me in many ways, and I want to preach this morning why I love the local church. And I do not stand alone in what I'm preaching. I'm going to put Tim Rader's language to it and perhaps color to it and maybe a little bit of humor to it, but the doctrine is the doctrine. It is unchanging. I stand, like I tried to say last Sunday morning, I stand on the shoulders of men like Charles Haddon Spurgeon and D.L. Moody and Gypsy Smith and J. Frank Norris and Robert Ketchum, and you go on, you could name them, man. And I preach out of the same Bible that they preached out of, and it's the mainstream of New Testament Christianity. And this morning, if I can convey to you the doctrine of the church and the importance of the church, you need to know this. The church is God's idea. This is called the church age. It isn't everybody doing their own thing. That's what Old Testament Israel did, and they got in big trouble, and everybody did that which was right in their own eyes, and they all had their different flavors. The New Testament church, not that way. Now, there have been people that have strayed, and they kind of done their own thing, and that's where all the denominations have come from. But the fact is, the church of Jesus Christ is God's idea. And this age is called the church age, and one day the rapture takes place, and the rapture is for the church of Jesus Christ, and we're taken out of this world, and then God turns back to Israel and the 7 years of tribulation. So if anything good is going to be accomplished that is lasting in the day and age in which we live, Pastor Josh read that passage out of Ephesians. I'm going to try to get to it this morning. It's going to happen in the church. There's going to be glory in the church. There's going to be some glory other places, because just like when you're carrying a bucket that's so full of water, that while you're carrying it, it spills out and splashes other places. But the church, the New Testament church, as the Bible teaches it, is God's headquarters for this age in which we live, for you and for me. The church. It's a place to belong. It's a place to live. It's a place to grow. It's a place to thrive. It's a place to bring a friend. It is that old-timey hymn singing, kneel at the altar, Jesus praising kind of New Testament Christianity that we have here. And people come every service, and people leave their burdens at the altar. So many people come, and their lives never change. That doesn't change the truth and what we're trying to do. I think I told you last Sunday, and this is where I got off of my little rabbit trail. I've had a bad pizza once or twice in my life, but I'm not going to stop having pizza. And I know some people come to the altar and seemingly nothing happens, but we're still going to have an altar call. God loves the church. Just for introduction, I want to read a couple verses I read last Sunday morning. Go to Luke in chapter 24. Luke in chapter 24, verse 49. And just in case you're starting to listen to the wrong people, Jesus Christ is still enough. Jesus Christ is the one that will fulfill your every need. And Jesus Christ is the only one that will satisfy your soul and heart. He is it. He is the God. And it says here, Jesus says to his followers in verse 49, "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you." That's the Holy Spirit. That's the Comforter. That is the helper that Jesus referred to in the Gospel of John many times. "But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." He said, you go to Jerusalem and you wait until the Holy Spirit comes. Go back now again to Acts in chapter 1. Acts in chapter 1. I'm not going to read everything I read last Sunday morning because we want to move far, far beyond that. But they were waiting. Dr. Luke is writing the book of Acts, this treatise, the same Dr. Luke that's the Gospel of Luke. And he tells the people in verses 1 through 5, let me read. "The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion, after Calvary, after the resurrection, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." So many of God's children could be spiritual giants if they just hooked their wagon to the church, the New Testament church, and remain faithful. And God will build them and grow them. But what happens is, we like sheep have gone astray. We all kind of do our own thing. We invent our own Jesus, invent our own doctrines, invent our own ideas of what the Bible has to say when we're not reading it ourselves and seeing exactly what it says. And before long, everything gets convoluted and confused and conflicted and diluted. And I'll tell you where you're going. You're going to come to the place where you're saying, they're all a bunch of hypocrites. That's just not for me. And that is a work of Satan. Go to Acts in chapter 2. Acts in chapter 2. I know there's a lot of confusion today. I would tell you, as a simple man, grab your Bible and become a student. Just get in it. Get in it. Tomorrow is October 1st. As a church, we read the book of Leviticus. Only 27 chapters in the book of Leviticus. 31 days in October. That gives you, some of you can catch up from Exodus, all right? But, get in the book. Acts in chapter 2, verse 41, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. Same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done among the apostles," or done by the apostles, "and all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need, and they continuing daily with one accord in the temple," every day they went to the temple, every day they went to church, "breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart." The carnal Christian punches a time clock. The godly Christian can't get enough. Man, you just get, listen to all the preaching you can, you do all the reading you can, all the Bible study, you just cannot get enough because you're hungry and you're thirsty for that word of God. Verse 47, "praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." No matter what, Jesus is enough. Let me pray. I've got 5 points here. I'm probably not going to preach them all, but Father, we pray your blessing upon the word. We're not going to look at a single passage this morning, so please, we all have thoughts that wander from time to time. Would you help us to pay attention? Would you help us to be focused? God, help us to learn. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The church is bound for glory. What we read in Ephesians for the scripture reading this morning is that glory is found in the church. It's not perfected yet. We have a long ways to go. None of us have arrived. In fact, I said this in Sunday school, and I realize this will be on the radio, but you know what? We're a church that's made up of hundreds of people, and I'll tell you, as the under-shepherd right now, just so it's an emphasis for those who heard it in Sunday school, right now at Fundamental, and it's not new, and it's happened before, and things seem to cycle, we got a gossip problem. Get it in check. Don't put any wood on the fire. Just confess your sin. I confess my sin. And we go on for God. And there's glory in the church. So I'm not kicking anybody in the teeth. One person tells another person, you know how that is. After the first person, the stories change. I said Wednesday night, we know too much about one another. You know what? And I know some of it's just the culture that we live in today. Let's strive to be New Testament Christians. Let's strive to be Christ-like and obey the precepts of the Word of God. Well, I already said this. The church is planned by God. The word ecclesia is found 114 times in the New Testament. The very nature of the word church, ecclesia, speaks of being different than the world. That's Bible separation. The very nature, the very word church, called out assembly. Called out of the culture. A demarcation, a point of separation, a called out of the world, out of the cosmos, out of the world system, group, assembly of people. Not disjointed and everybody doing their own thing. It's an assembly of people. We work together. We covenant together. We're the New Testament church, a Fundamental Baptist church. And we strive to do things God's way. But understand this, the church is planned by God. We could go to scripture after scripture, and you always hear me quote. You hear me quote it often, Matthew 16, 18. It's kind of like my battle cry. Jesus said, I will build my church. Whose church? Christ's church. Who builds it? Christ builds it. He said, you follow me. You obey me. I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The church is planned by God. New Testament doctrine taught all over the New Testament. I'm convinced from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet that God's plan is the New Testament local church. It's the New Testament local church that's getting the job done. You can argue till you're blue in the face. I know what the Bible says. The New Testament over and over again. How about this? The church at Jerusalem, church at Antioch, church at Iconium, church at Rome, church at Lystra, church at Colossae, church at Thessalonica, church at Philippi, church at Ephesus, church at Galatia, church at Macedonia, church at Corinth, church at Smyrna, church at Pergamos, church at Thyatira, church at Sardis, Philadelphia, Laodicea, Berea, Iconium, Derbe. These are New Testament local churches mentioned in just the New Testament. It's God's idea. The church is God's. It was planned by God, and it was purchased by God. Take your Bible, turn to Acts in chapter 20 and verse 28. And by the way, the devil will do everything he can to diminish and dilute and defeat and destroy the church of Jesus Christ. He understands it's the church that received marching orders. It's the church that was commissioned and ordained by God. And again, that word ordained means ordered. Jesus said, this is the way it is. I'm going to set up New Testament local assemblies. There's going to be two offices in the New Testament assembly. Pastors and deacons. The pastors are the under-shepherd. The deacons assist. He said, that's it. He said, there's going to be two ordinances. The Lord's table and baptism. Both picture the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ because it's all about the gospel. It is all about the gospel. He said, I want the church to practice these things to identify with me. There's going to be Bible preaching in the church. It's going to rightly divide the word of truth. There's going to be an altar call. There's going to be Bible surrender. that people are going to have to keep their own heart and guard their own heart and sell out to God. And he said, and I will supernaturally bless them and provide for them and lead them. All they've got to do is follow me. I'll enable them. I'll empower them. The Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost for the New Testament church, and the church was born on that day. And evangelism took place on day one. On day one, people started getting saved. And people sold out to God. And in the first century, they reached the entire world. There are at least five New Testament passages that literally say they reached the world in the first century without media, without technology. Say, how could that have happened? God enabled them. They were that sold out. It could happen again if we get serious for God. Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. This is the church of Jesus Christ. It is purchased by the blood of Jesus, the Son of God. It belongs to Jesus Christ. It is not a people rule. It is not a democracy. It is a theocracy. This is God's church. It isn't Tim Rader's church. It isn't Josh Rader's church. It isn't Bill Lockhart's church. It's the church of Jesus Christ. And woe be to the person that tries to take over. Woe be to the person that says, this is my church. He's going to do things. They're going to do things my way. You got to buckle under what I got going. Woe be to that person that is purchased by God. Go to Ephesians chapter 3. That's what was read for our scripture reading this morning. Ephesians in chapter 3 and verses 14 through 21. That's what makes the church different from every other organization in the world today. Absolutely every organization, you just name it, Hey, makes us different, the Moose Lodge. I shouldn't probably start naming things. People, radio listeners everywhere, but the Elks Club. How about this? Republicans and Democrats. And you just let man have his way. You got a mess. God says, this is my church. It was purchased by my son through his blood. You couldn't get it done. He got it done. The very Son of God. He purchased the church. It is the church of Jesus Christ. You follow me. I'll take care of you. I'll enable you. And then I'm going to rescue you by way of the rapture. And you go about reaching this whole world for Christ and do it God's way. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus, of whom the whole family in heaven and in earth is named, Christians, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. It takes a lot of strength to serve God. Some weeks are pretty easy pastoring Fundamental Baptist Church. Last week, there was only one day there was not a huge crisis. Just one day. I remember thinking on three of those days where a crisis was going on, I got up this morning thinking this is going to be a good day. It's going to be good. But that's part of being a pastor, right? That God enables. There's a great burden that goes along with it. But God says, I'll enable you. I'll give you strength in the inner man. Verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Somehow, I'm to try to grasp that which cannot be measured. That's the love of God. And that is the grace of God. And it's bigger than all my problems. And Christ is bigger than any mountain I'll ever have to climb. And what wonderful truth that is. And he says, and you'll be filled with the fullness of God. Verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Verse 21. Man, this is the one I got circled. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Now, some part-time Bible students, and this was really big for the last 30 years of the last century, and that was this universal church kind of thing. Kind of petered out a little bit. That was, oh, that's talking about just the body of believers everywhere. Yeah, it is talking about the body of believers everywhere. But it's talking about New Testament. It's that part of the body of believers that are everywhere, that are right with God and doing the job and sending out missionaries and revitalizing and restoring saints and doing the work of God. That's the New Testament local church. You know, it's a New Testament church here and a New Testament church there and a New Testament church here and one over in that culture and one down in that hemisphere down there. Down there in that hemisphere. That's north, right? Yeah, down there in that hemisphere. And over there, and 82% of the world does not live in the Western Hemisphere. So there's a whole lot of world out there. And God says, I've got an idea. And I proclaim it to be so. I will ordain the ecclesia, the called out assemblies. You'll have under shepherds. They're going to need help. So you have some deacons. And you're going to fulfill my job, my will. You're going to go and you're going to preach the gospel to every creature. You're going to do your best to rally the troops and keep everybody in rank. You're going to do your best to fulfill all of the Great Commission and disciple young converts. Salvation is just the beginning. And discipling, that's a harder part. But you're going to go at it and you're going to serve me. And you're going to reach the whole world for Christ. You got two ordinances. You observe those ordinances. And when you do, you remember Calvary. And you remember the resurrection. Just keep everybody in mind of that. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Not a fairy tale. For the church, it's happily ever after. It'll be powered by God. Luke 24, we've already read. Tarry in Jerusalem. I'll send the Holy Spirit. Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. We cannot become ingrown. There's always a danger of that. That's one area where God has blessed us. And we do not want to be, we want stability, but we don't want to be ingrown. Nor do we want to compromise in order to reach numbers. Then we lose our power. Oh, it might be there for a little while or even a part of a generation. That's exactly what the denominations did. And they're hemorrhaging a loss of members. Every mainline denomination. Say, what's going on? It's the last days. And it's only the Philadelphia church that's going to prosper. Protected by God. By the way, the devil hasn't armies enough to stop a Holy Spirit-powered church. Man, he has tried to trip us up again and again. He has hurt people. He has tripped people up. He has confused people. He has twisted people's thinking, and we're all made of the same stuff. Man, I was reminded of that this morning. Wow, was I mad this morning? Yeah, I was. The very thing I'm angry. What I get angry about in the ministry is people that are mad about something in their life and they blame shift and they take it out on somebody else. I see that all the time. It's a tactic that we used to do as teenagers all the time, is blame shifting. Yeah, this went wrong in my life. What happened over there? And you kind of blame shift, you know. And this morning, it just everything, that's why I know old school is going to be a great day. This morning was the roughest Sunday morning I've had in a long time. I started out right until I got over here and I was locked out of the church. Then I checked my text and I got it from Cindy, who's sick this morning. They were here cleaning yesterday, replacing Ray as he went down for his transplant. And there's a text, oh, Pastor, we found your keys in the church. We left them in the door of the office. We left the upstairs door unlocked. That's what my text says. But everything else is locked. And so I went to the upstairs door, and it was locked. I went to every other door, and it was raining, and it was locked. It was raining this morning. I tried to break in a window. I couldn't break in a window. I was too fat for the one window that it was open, and I couldn't get in. I left my car out there, and I'm mad now. I left my car out there in the rain. It's shorter for me, just as short for me to walk right to my house. So I walked in the rain. I didn't run because I was mad. I'm walking. And you know what? I want to be mad at Cindy. But she didn't do anything wrong. And there's that blame shifting thing again. It's those ladies that sacrifice all their time and they come over and clean the church. Man, it's those ladies. You know, that doesn't make any sense. I get over there, and Debbie's key. No, Debbie says, no, I don't have a key to the door of the church. I says, no. call Josh. I said, call Josh, tell him. And she started to call him, and I was mad. I said, yeah, he's not going to answer his cell phone. He doesn't have any coverage over there. So I walked all the way back. I walked out and got in my car and drove down there and drove all the way. The whole time I'm fuming. I'm thinking, and I kicked the step outside my back sliding door on the way out. And when I kicked it, this is how mad I get sometimes. I knew it was going to hurt, but it didn't matter. I kicked it. And then I'm mad at that. We got problems. We got problems at Fundamental Baptist Church because of your pastor, and you are just like I am. And what I was really extremely upset about was I was mad because I was doing exactly like I see other people doing in different levels, blame shifting, which really does cause problems in people's lives. You know, and sometimes the biggest bullies, they're not, you know, but anyway. So there I was, there on my knees this morning. It's me again, God. He saw the whole thing. He heard it all. And I had to confess. And then I started confessing. And I went on confessing sin for a long time. And I was just naming general sin. I was, you know, oh God, my slothfulness, you know. And before long, I'm weeping. I'm thinking, we need to be enabled, empowered by the church. The church is not perfected here on this earth. Not happening. But we will be one day. Ephesians 5:27. Why don't you turn over there? Just a page over. Ephesians 5 and verse 27. Boy, I got convicted about being a pastor this morning. I didn't realize it, but I guess I was starting to feel sorry for myself. And because people tell you their problems, and when I say crisis, I mean crisis, you know. And oh man, how can this happen, you know? And sometimes you get overburdened, but that's why you got to go to God, right there. That's why you go to God, and He's enough. I'm telling you. Don't think, some of you are going to laugh when I say this, don't think, oh, if I was only as spiritual as Pastor Rader, I know that everything would be okay. Man, you better shoot a whole lot higher than that. That's where you'll be, right there, you know. As children of God, Ephesians 5, verse 27, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church. Sometimes I don't feel too glorious. Not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but it should be holy and without blemish. Out in the connector building, working just a little bit this week, and Mike Babcock was over there. Mike, did you actually see that board hit me? Yeah, okay. Yeah, maybe it looked bad, worse than what it was, because he was really concerned. But after, I said, oh, I'm okay. And then Josh comes over and says, Dad, your head's bleeding. I said, oh, man. And then I realized my tooth is sore right here. That thing hit me pretty hard. So if things can go wrong, they're going to go wrong in your life. Spiritual battles are going to be everywhere. Run to Christ. Run to Christ Church. Run to the Christ of the Church of Jesus Christ. Be faithful. Honor God. The church one day will be perfected. 1 John 3:2. Turn over there. I'm done. I'm just about done. 1 John 3:2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. We're bound for glory. That's why Ephesians 3:21 says, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages. Want to be under the spout where the glory comes out? Get to church. Something special about church.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, senior pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.